This morning and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. We'll be reading verses 14 through 16. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. I'd like to have you read all the verses together aloud with me this morning. 1 Timothy 3, 14 through 16, and let's stand together as we read. Ready? "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." And let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another Lord's Day, this opportunity to come together. We pray, Lord, your blessing upon the reading of the word this morning, and that you would use it to speak to our hearts today. Pray that your Holy Spirit would just work among us this morning. We pray, Lord, if there's somebody here that doesn't know you as Savior, might come to know you today. Be with Pastor as he brings a message this morning, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. You can be seated. Number 336 in your songbook, 336. "My hope is in the Lord."
Hope we focus on the words, even though we may know the songs and have heard them several times. I was just reading, of course, the writer lived in early 1900s of that song, but the truth is transcends time, doesn't it? Like the scripture and just the gospel throughout the whole song. That's what Christian music's about, is not sharing how wonderful we are in our worship, but sharing how wonderful God is and what He's done for us. And that's what Christian music should be about. A lot of the emphasis today of Christian's music is Lord, look how wonderful I am. I'm worshiping. Well, we're supposed to worship God in spirit and in truth, and singing about Him and His love and what He has done and His truth, and not exalting ourselves. But anyway, 1 Timothy chapter number 3, great passage of Scripture. I wrestled with two different messages for which one morning, which one evening, and so you're finding out the answer, which one I chose for this morning. And this evening's message will be in Psalm 119, one of the sections there. But I wrestled which one which, and just I felt the Lord said do this one Sunday morning, and so that's what I'm doing. It is Sunday morning, isn't it? Very good. 1 Timothy chapter 3. I want to back up in a few verses there and read. Let me just read the whole chapter to that. This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, that's a pastor, an overseer, he desireth a good work. A bishop, then, must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, nor covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, new to the faith, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. The deacons, be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, and let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children in their own houses well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And by the way, who's it say was made known in the flesh? God. God in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. The Word. The Word is with God. The Word what? Was God in Christ. God was manifest, made known in the flesh. The Word of God. Justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. I want to focus on one phrase there in verse number 15, and we'll get to that later on in the message. But the Bible says here in verse 15, I'll read the whole verse, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to be in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. The pillar and ground of the truth. The local New Testament church, where you are. We're not here just because we like the idea of going to church. We're here today because we are where God wants us to be in this day to hear the Word of God encouraged. The local church is the pillar and ground of the truth. The pillar and ground of the truth. And so I want to look at that this morning. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to be here. And Lord, we give you praise for your goodness, not only giving us the truth, but a place where it is held up, heralded, preached, taught, learned, applied. Thank you for the church. And Lord, I pray this morning that the Holy Spirit would challenge us, strengthen us, each one, in our relationship to that institution you established for this day. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I had the privilege, although I didn't always think it was a privilege, I had the privilege of growing up in a home where we were in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, special meeting, cleaning day. I remember my dad running the bulldozer to build an addition on the back of the church there in Carlisle, New York. When, in fact, he lost some gold coins that he had in a wallet someone had given him. And he dug, tried to find them, never could find his wallet, buried his wallet with some gold coination of Faith Bible Baptist Church, or Faith Bible Church in upstate New York, outside of Carlisle, New York. And anyway, I grew up in the church. I mean, I went to Sunday school from the time I was just a couple weeks old. Sunday school, morning service, evening service. When we were in New Berlin, New York, they had a training union class before the evening service for kids. Gail's mom taught me that. And she'll, you know, anyway, she'll remind me. She taught me. But anyway, so, you know, growing up in church was something that I did. However, when I went in the Army, there was a good space of time where I never went to church at all until I really came to grips with my need, that I needed to be saved. And then after I got saved, by the grace of God, I knew I was supposed to, by the grace of God, after I got saved, I've been in church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, special meeting since that time. I just knew that's what I was supposed to do as a Christian. And it hasn't warped me, I don't think. In fact, it has kept me many, many times. I don't get up on Sunday morning. Well, last Sunday morning, I was kind of deciding whether I'd come because I really didn't feel well, but I'm glad I was here. But I don't get up and decide whether church would be a good option. On Sunday, that was decided. When I got saved, I said, we're going to church. Amen? And that was ingrained in me. I understood it as a kid, but now I wanted that in my life. I wanted to live for God. Amen? I wanted to do what God wanted me to do. Wanted to be where God wanted me to be. You know, way back from that time, there's not new decisions every week. What's convenient? What's going on at the golf course? What's going on in the fishing? What's going on with games? You know what? Church is church. Amen. I mentioned in Sunday school, I met a preacher this week that's 90 years of age, still pastoring in North Chicago, actually right in the area where I was out when I was in Bible college. And he's still pastoring, pastored two churches at a time for a while, still 90, still pastoring, still preaching. And I said, do you preach, you know, morning, Sunday? He says, I teach Sunday school, I preach the morning service, and I preach the evening service. He said this, I still believe we should have an evening service. It is the Lord's day. Lord's day. It's not the Sabbath. We've entered into rest in Christ. We keep the Sabbath that way. Sunday's the Lord's day. And in our society, we've got, I mean, you used to be able not to buy anything in America on Sundays, hardly. You better get it on Saturday, right? And now they're arguing whether they should sell beer. They shouldn't sell beer at all. Thank you, Brother Bergen. You should have heard 100 amens, but I know you felt it. And, you know, now they're arguing, well, shall we sell beer on Sunday, whatever? Why? Our country has gotten away from the biblical foundation that Sunday is the Lord's day and God's people should be where the Word of God is preached. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, I say unto thee, art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Kind of interesting phrase there. The Lord said to Peter, upon this rock, and he used two different words. The word Peter is the word stone, meaning a detached stone. And then upon this rock, the word for rock there, meaning more of a foundation stone, a pillar stone, foundational rock. He said, thou art Peter, a small detached stone, and upon, I'm sure he pointed to himself, and upon this rock, your stone, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And the idea of I will build, it wasn't like I'm going to go into a construction period for 6 months or a year, we're going to build it, and then it's built. It's the idea, I will be building my church. No other foundation can any man lay than that which is laid, Christ Jesus. Upon this rock, I will be building, I will build my church. Jesus is building his church upon the foundation of himself as the chief cornerstone, the stone which the builders, the Jews, rejected. He's building his church. His church will not be until the rapture takes place. That's when that church will be built. It'll be completed. The last Gentile before the trumpet sounds will be saved. And then the trumpet will sound, and the last Gentile that's going to be saved before the time will be saved, and the trumpet will sound, and we'll be with the Lord, and we'll be a church, an assembly with Christ. Right now, he's building that church. It will, until the rapture takes place, and we'll be an assembly in the air. The Bible says that they which are dead shall rise, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord, an assembly. Until that time, Jesus is building his church. The global church, meaning believers around the world, is the body of Christ, who has the church collectively in the scripture, but it's not yet an assembly. We're called out ones who will assemble. The word church itself means called out assembly. Emphasis on assembly. We're called out to gather. Although church is used generically referring to Christians as whole, 90 out of the 115 times the word ecclesia or church is used in the New Testament, it's referring to a local church or local churches. That which the Lord Jesus Christ is using today to build that one day called out assembly is the local church. The local church. Think of it for a moment. You're here because you know the importance of the local church. But think what it would be like not to be able to have a local church. In my mind, as I talked with Michael, And you know, to think about people that get saved in Iran, they can't freely come to church. They get together secretly, but they get together to share the word, to fellowship, to encourage one another. Think about what the church means to us, what it means to us today. There are people here that could testify of what the church itself has meant in their life through struggle, what the church has meant through temptation or through getting right with God after some sin in their life. The church. That which the Lord Jesus is using today is the local church. I want to share a few verses. Listen to these verses. I'd be glad to copy this off and give it to you if you'd like it written out for you. In Acts 9:31, the Bible says, this is in the first of the spreading of the gospel. It says, then churches, plural, rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, the churches were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied. So churches were built up. They had rest. They were built up. And then they multiplied churches, spawning the development of other churches. In Acts 15, it says Paul went through confirming the churches, plural, not the church, the churches. In Acts 16:5, it says, so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. In Romans 16:4, the Bible says, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the church of the Gentiles. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Churches, God's institution that he's using to build up his church that will be assembled one day at the rapture. There are a lot of parachurch organizations that have developed through time. But God has blessed and stamped his and formed the local, independent, Bible-believing church as the instrument, the pillar, and ground of the truth. A couple things to notice as I move in this message. First, instructions were given to churches. Think about the early days of the ministry. We're fortunate to have the whole compiled Bible. Okay. In their day, the scripture they had that they preached Christ out of, and as people were saved and churches were established, God gave more inspired writing through the Apostle Paul and to Titus, to churches, and to Timothy and to Titus, and then Peter and probably Paul with Hebrews, James and John. God gave, and Jude, God gave inspired writings to build up the church, to help Christians understand truth and what to do with it. And the only place to get the truth, because we're blessed, we can go to the bookstore and buy a Bible. I have a Bible on my phone, right? By the way, I'd much rather people follow in their Bibles than their phone Bibles. Can I be a little personal here? Because you got your phone Bible, you're too tempted to get outside information when you should be just focusing on the Word of God. I don't care who wants to text you. It can wait till after church. Amen? You know where my phone is when I preach? In my office. If it's an emergency now, it'll be an emergency after I'm done preaching still. My phone's in my office. And, you know, devil wants to sidetrack us. But the truth of the matter is, they came to church together to focus on what God wanted them to do, to fellowship around the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it was churches. The instructions were given for church function, for Christian living, and church organization and structure. Do you understand this? I've had many people through the years say to me, well, I believe in God, but I don't feel I have to go to church. That's a really piously stupid statement. It's pious because, well, I can worship God anywhere. I can. We're supposed to worship God in spirit and in truth. But we don't come strictly just to worship. We come to learn how to worship in practical living. Okay. Understand this. Were it not for local churches, we would not have the instruction, theoretically, of the New Testament that we have. Paul wrote to Christians at Rome. Paul wrote to the churches in Galatia. Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. Paul wrote to the church at Philippi. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica. And Paul wrote to Timothy, giving him instructions on what to do and say in the church. To organize, pastor, bishop, deacons to serve the church and to serve with the pastor in the ministry to help. That is not somebody that said, you know, let's start a club. Let's have a bishop and deacons. No. People got saved and God established an institution and gave instruction to the institution. Institutions. We're all institutionalized. God gave instructions to the churches, to the church. Now think about that. You can go home and, well, you should read your Bible every day. Amen? Amen. Get the Bible reading habit, then daily keep right at it. How you doing in your Bible reading? Hope you're doing okay. I read in Psalms this morning. Just, I loved it. I don't have to go through the Psalms. You can go home and read your Bible and study your Bible. There's Bible study helps. They didn't have any of that. We have Bible study helps and we have Bibles at home because God established local churches to whom He gave the Scripture that we study. And they passed it on to other local churches. The church, the letter to the, we read in Ephesus, and likwise the one at Ephesus and Laodicea, they were to share the Scriptures. And what Peter wrote, one person got it and maybe copied it and shared it and shared it, and other people got it. We got copies of the copy, amen? Translations of it. But understand, it came to and through and for local churches that were edifying individual people. Today there's many Christian organizations that I would consider to be leeches on local churches. Or they steal from local churches, people interested in the Lord, and then parachurch organizations pull them under their wings. I believe that Christian institutions that are outside the local church should be subordinate to the local church. Why do you think that so many Bible colleges today have drifted away spiritually? Because they've had boards that ran them instead of being subordinate to a local church or local churches. You see, the Bible says, as we read, the church, and it's speaking of the house of God, which is the church of the living God, is the pillar and ground of the truth. To the church at Corinth, as God has distributed to every man, as the Lord has called everyone, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all churches. Churches. Bible churches ought to all teach the same thing. Amen. People have drifted because of wrong theology, but really, churches should be teaching the same thing. In 1 Corinthians, man seems to be contentious. We have no such customs, neither the churches of God. Churches of God. Certain customs that churches should and shouldn't have. Instructions were given to the churches, but also I want you to notice this about local churches. Churches were mentioned as examples. Listen to this. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the house. Starting a church in their home. When I was in Harbor Beach, we didn't have a building that was ours. The first church I pastored was Faith Bible Baptist of Harbor Beach, Michigan. And we met first of all in a high school auditorium, and the townspeople didn't like us being in the high school. But on Wednesday night we met in someone's home. And then we met, and the people in the town didn't like us meeting in the public library. And on Wednesday nights, we'd meet in someone's home as well. And so then we finally rented an Oddfellows Lodge. Went right along with the pastor, right? And we rented an Oddfellows Lodge, and we were able to have that We call it Odd Fellows Baptist Church, not really, but Odd Fellows Lodge, and we were able to meet there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and have our services. I'd put a sandwich board down on the sidewalk, and it was upstairs into that. Remember Mrs. Klug, you know, as hard as it is, but she'd come up, sit there in the services, and the truth of the matter is, this church, mentioned with Aquila and Priscilla, started in the home. But as people get saved, there comes a need to have a place to meet. 1 Corinthians 16, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I've given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. So instructions given to the church were supposed to be passed on and expected by the church at Corinth as well. Point being, instructions throughout the scriptures we have were given to local churches, for local churches, to share with individual Christians in those churches to follow and please the Lord and be a part of their church. A part of their church. A part of their church. Churches were listed as they salute you. Listen to this one. Moreover, brethren, we do wit of the grace or know of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Wherefore, show them, the Bible says, show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love. And then he says this, you became followers of the churches of God which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For you also have suffered like things of your own countrymen as they have of the Jews. We're followers of the churches of God which were in Christ in Judea. In other words, what they were as a church, the truth was brought to a group of people that came to know Christ as Savior, baptized, joined together for the edification and growth individually and for the preaching of the Word of God and salvation of lost souls. They gathered together and they followed the direction that this church was going, and they followed where we started. They were all following the same rule. It's interesting today with the contemporary thought how that people just develop what they want to have as a church. Bill Hybels, the Willow Creek Church, you know, I mean, 20,000 people. But when they started, their motivation was this. Let's find out what unchurched people would want in a church. We'll do that. We'll get them in with what they want. And it's not the way it is. It's not the way it is. A church is a called out assembly, called out of the world together, revolving around the person and work of Jesus Christ and what he wants for our lives today. And the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Bible colleges aren't. Except as they are true, Bible colleges change. Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Northwestern. I know Bible colleges today that have gone downhill. They had boards, but they weren't under local church direction. You know. And so The church is the pillar and ground of truth. Construction to the churches, for Christians. Listen to this. In 2 Corinthians 8, it says, whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you, or our brethren be inquired of. They are the, that's 2 Corinthians 8:23, if you want to look at it. 8:23. Whether they inquire of Titus, he's my partner and fellow helper concerning you, or our brethren be inquired of, they are the messengers of the churches. Messengers of the churches, where God sent people to send messages to the churches. Paul said to Timothy, Titus, you know, set in order the things that are lacking, and they were to go to churches and establish them. Messengers to the churches, not to individual Christians, to the churches. To the gatherings of God's people to hear God's message. In Revelation 1:11 it says, Jesus speaking, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, what thou seest, write in a book and send it, listen, write it in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. The Lord Jesus gave messages to John, and to the church globally via internet. He said, take these letters to the churches, local groups of people organized in fellowship around the things of Christ, organized to share the gospel of Christ, organized to edify one another in the things of Christ. Letters sent to the churches. As God revealed more truth, progressive revelation, the New Testament, he wrote to a church, or to one that was going to instruct a church. Letters read when gathered together. The letter to Timothy now, in our passage this morning, I want you to notice. The letter to Timothy, Paul, Timothy is his son in the faith, and Timothy is an ambassador going to these different churches, helping them establish, be strengthened. A group of believers gathered together, and you know, we're praying together. We're studying the word, what word we have available, and what do we do? And Timothy came and said, well, you need to have a pastor, a bishop, and you need to have deacons, and here's the truth you need to follow and propagate. And in verse number chapter 3, 1 Timothy chapter 3, first of all, look at verse number 7 of a pastor. It says, moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach in the snare of the devil. Understand, the devil has a snare for those who are Christian workers, because the devil wants to have a snare for the church. I don't believe in a hierarchy church. Catholicism be developed or evolved into a hierarchy that departed from the truth of God's word and amalgamated practices into it. And it became a hierarchy so that it controlled things. You know, we're an independent Bible-believing church. Jesus Christ is the Lord of our church, amen? And there's an under-shepherd, and it's a pastor, and there are deacons, and the word of God is our final authority. We have, and I meant to stick it in my Bible, we have a church constitution that simply condenses and puts in what we believe and how we practice, but it's based on the 66 books of the Bible, particularly the organization of the local church in the New Testament. The pillar and ground of the truth. And in verse number 7, he says, Be careful, because there's a snare, reproach and snare of the devil. A lot of Christians have been ensnared and entrapped. The devil wants to ruin Christian lives, and if he can erode an institution of authority in their lives, he gets them away from that which can help them. Christians who are not in a Bible-preaching, Bible-believing church regularly and faithfully are more prone to spiritual error than others. More prone for disaster than others. Now notice verse 14, these things write, hoping to come shortly. I'd like to tell you these things in person, but I'm writing them. Thank God they're written, right? These things write unto thee, hoping to come to thee shortly. But if I tarry long, I've wrote this, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. He says, Timothy, I'm writing this so that you tell other people that how they're supposed to be concerning the church. Behave thyself in the house of God. Now, let me say this. We know God doesn't live in a building, right? Amen? If you come in this building at night, you might hear noises that you think somebody lives here. God doesn't live in a building. He lives. But here it says that the church gathering is the house of God. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I where? In the midst. And he says, the pillar and ground of the truth. The pillar, the church, the pillar and ground of the truth. The word pillar is support column, prop or support. There's a building, I think it's down near Munster, Hammond, Indiana, along the highway, that you go by it. It's on the south side of 80-94 there. And it sits just on pillars. Okay. Have you seen it? Anybody? It just sits on pillars. That amazes me, right? You know, that underneath me. Have you ever been down to Florida where, you know, they're up out of the water or along rivers and stuff? Houses will be built on supports. You remember what happened with Samson? He said, put me next to the two support pillars. And he pulled them. And the building crashed. Okay. The Lord said, the church is the pillar of the truth. The truth sits upon God passing it through the church. God's using the local church for the truth to rest upon and be propagated and upheld, taught, passed on. It's the church that does that. The pillar and ground, the word ground, the idea of a same idea, a prop or support, a foundational thing, prop. So the church is the pillar and support of the truth. When churches became part of a hierarchy and the hierarchy moved away, it was no longer a church. It was just a big organization with a religious name tag. But people would get the truth and know Christ and form body of the church, the local church. By the way, we're here today because people were willing to form bodies away from a hierarchy to establish Bible-believing churches, many of whom died for that. In Iran, someday there'll be churches. As right now, people are hearing the scripture and are hiding and gathering in secret. The bodies of believers organized into local churches form the pillar and ground. This is important. There's much room for and tendency for error outside the church. I'm appalled at so many non-denominational groups. There's a church in our area that has been Baptist for years. I drove by, somebody changed. I drove by and they've changed the name. They're not Baptist anymore. I'm not ashamed to be Baptist. I came across, or someone else came across, someone that I've known for years that used to be a fundamental Bible-believing Baptist and swallowed contemporary ism, hook, line, and sinker. Knowing I didn't, the person said, and is that guy still a fundamental? Yes, I am! Amen? I'm glad to be one. Because I didn't veer away from being a church and becoming just what I wanted to be to please people. We're staying true to the Word of God because the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Amen? When a church veers from the truth, it's no longer really a church. It's an organization. parachurch, outside of church organizations have always been dangerous concerning the truth, always. When a lot of churches, and listen to me here carefully, when a lot of churches have quit having Sunday night services, I watched, they replaced them with small groups. Oh, we're just going to have small groups. And I said in my mind, those small groups will splinter or disintegrate. How many of them have small group Sunday nights anymore? What it was just to erode the fact of God's people honoring God on the Lord's Day and being together to be reminded to get that shot in the arm to serve God that week. Very dangerous stuff. False doctrines, church splits, get out of church excuses and more came as a result. There are many organizations that are Christian in their beliefs and then in their promoted ideals, but not subordinate to local church or groups of local churches. And I believe that's dangerous. They will often pull people out of local churches because they're a part of this great organization. And let me tell you this, I would not even support Michael Garmy if he wasn't a part of a Bible-believing local church somewhere that had authority over him. If he were to be an entity of his own, I wouldn't even recommend support. But if he's subordinate to a local church ministry and then branches out, you know, that then I'd support that. Amen. Also become non-denominational, taking no stand on critical scriptural issues so they can, quote, influence more people. Let's be honest. That's not why. It's so they can be benefited in their ministry by more subscribers and patrons. When I was in high school, 1970s, there were three druggy hippies, a little older than I, that had gotten saved. And we're talking, one guy, his hair was down to the middle of his back, you know, big fuzz head, hair all the way down. And they, you know, they all had long hair. It was the Groovy Ghoulie group of that day. You had to be there to recognize it, which I wasn't far from, by the way, especially in my heart. The druggy hippie guys saved by local church ministry. But then parachurch organization called in that day coffee house. Coffee house gatherings pulled them aside where they started getting mixed doctrine, charismatic teaching. And already the beginnings, back in the 1970s, okay, the beginnings of amalgamating into Christianity the rock music, you know, like taking House of the Rising Sun and putting Amazing Grace words to it. Beginnings of rock music being incorporated, not in the church, in the coffee houses. And what came out of the coffee houses then became spreading into other churches. Of the three guys, I can remember, I see their faces just as clear as a bell. One of them decided to follow local church direction, and he went to Bible college, called to preach, cut his hair, amen, learned doctrines, and to my knowledge, a Bible-believing church today. The others just meandered in confusion because I believe they were not anchored in the pillar and ground of the truth, the local Bible-believing church. Several things quickly. I'm not going to expound. Number one, we all have to re-recognize the scriptural role of the local church. What we're doing today is we're honoring God and the Bible being where we ought to be. We ought to participate in the functions of the local church. And I want to say this with love and kindness. I believe every Christian should be at every service, if it's possible. The local church should be put above other things of interest that come along. It's more important to be in church than it is on the baseball diamond. It's more important to be in church than everywhere and anywhere else. Because the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. And if I want to be holding to the truth, I'm going to be there. People for Christ and bring them with us to the local church. God forbid that you would invite someone to your local church and not be there yourself when they happen to show up. And it has happened. I get to greet them. We should cooperate with the local ministry and programs. A church isn't a place for everybody to have their own little program. It's for everybody to cooperate with the program. We should pray lest Satan would get an advantage, lest Satan, as the Bible says here, would cause a snare for a pastor here. We should pray, always pray for the local church and pray for the leaders, pray for its ministries, pray for what you might bring, pray for its impact. I don't believe in us four and no more. I believe that our church can and should have a very effective impact on people in this area, not because of our programs, not because of something spectacular, but because the Holy Spirit is living in and through us, and we're holding up the Word of God, Christ the Savior. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll amen unto me. People that have to substitute with a bunch of shenanigans, I think don't have the Spirit of God and His power or the Savior, really. What we do to win people, you do to keep them. And listen, if someone says, I need Jesus Christ as my Savior. Did you watch that video last Sunday? And that Islamic couple of them said, came to know Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I want to serve Him and live for Him and learn about Him. That's what happens when we get saved. Amen. Amen. Abba, Father. Man, I don't know if I ought to go to church. Something's wrong. Always be a vision, not a contribution to the problem. Notice verse 14. If thou keep this commandment, these things write unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. Verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. The Bible says, the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Some are like that. Some are like that. I feel sad for some that are like that. I never preach to the ones that aren't here. But I battle not being disappointed. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another even so much the more as you see the day approaching. People tend to become less faithful, but we should encourage each other to become more faithful as we see the day approaching. You know, I love my... That's obvious, right? I can actually talk sometimes about them without crying now. But my mom and dad, when they were no longer in the ministry, felt it was important to be in the house of God. Amen? That was a great testimony to me. Because when the doors were open, they were gone. Not ministering, not preaching, not playing the piano anymore, not singing, not telling his corny jokes from the pulpit, to sit and be a part of a ministry because it was the local church, the pillar and ground of the truth. Listen to me. No church is perfect. No church is perfect. But you will not be what you ought to be as a Christian until you really get in the local church like God wants you to be and be there. You never know what God will open up for you. We're here today not to show how wonderful we are, but to remind each other of a Savior who is wonderful and of a truth that's so applicable for us today. I'm not a relative. I'm trying to get people to relate their lives to the Bible. It's up to you and me to say, here's my life and here's what God's Word says, and I need to relate myself to the Bible. Listen, it's the pillar and ground of the truth. We got the place. We got the people. Form the ministry as a church. Amen? Let's do it. God's got great things for us. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been in church, but you still haven't come to know Christ as your Savior. Do that. Do that today. Make sure that you're saved. Heavenly Father, we thank you for local churches around the world that you're using today. Local churches upon which the truth sets and is proclaimed, heralded, upheld, taught, passed on. Lord, help our church to be true to its mission, reaching the lost and building the saved, upholding the truth. In this day of great error, help us. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we stand together, please? If you're not sure that you're saved today, I'd encourage you to come. And Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church. He wants you to be a part of that great assembling. If you're not saved, you won't be. You need Christ as your Savior for certain. Please make sure. Christian, what adjustments do you really need to make in view of the pillar and ground of the truth? Please don't let God's Word pass upon hardened ears, unresponsive lives. Let's become more of what God wants us to be, not less, as we see the day approaching. Father, bless now this invitation, I pray, in Jesus' name. I pray you do that. If you're not sure you're saved, you come grab my hand. Make sure of that today. Brother Jeff, would you come, please?
Number 331, have you any room for Jesus? Have you any room for Jesus?
Family called me yesterday and said, Pastor, our kids are sick. I said, do they have green snotty nose? They said, yeah. I said, keep them in. Stay home with them. Amen? Stay home with them. Yeah, there's times we should stay home, right? There's times. But listen, I believe with all of my heart that God will honor a church where its people will honor Him and be there. I believe that. So that means I believe when we refuse, when we don't yield to what we know we should, we may be hindering what God would do. He did not those miracles there because of their unbelief. So we're helping each other. We're helping the Lord's work. We're contributing to God's when we just do what we should as Christians. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that you love us. And Lord, there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. But there are expectations. And Lord, you want to use us. And Lord, you've set up guidelines for us to serve you. And Lord, may we become increasingly responsive to be. And Father, we pray that you'd pour out your blessing. We sang earlier, there shall be showers of blessing. Lord, I pray for your blessing upon us, that we would see spiritual growth and salvation of lost people in this area, in these days. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Use us. Give us pliable, yielded hearts. For we ask in your name. Amen. God bless you, and you are dismissed.